Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. Find out how to be a part of it at ESPNFFC.com.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right, the Cubs getting blown out in game one of their seven-inning doubleheader. They've got another one coming up in a little bit. They're down 9-1.
How about this? I got a suggestion for you as you're with big baseball ideas. How about a mercy rule? A manager can actually tap out if he wants to tap out to save his bullpen.
Well, would you want to tap out? I mean, Len was talking about this yesterday about why the unwritten rules in baseball are stupid is, you know, in an NBA game or an NFL game when there's a minute left and you're up 30, there's a clock. Like in baseball, there's no clock. You can score 10 runs without making an out. It's possible. So that's why I would never give up.
Okay.
But look, there are some questions for the Cubs. Let's go live to Wrigley Field right now, where the Cubs are about to lose game one of their doubleheader. Jesse Rogers joins us on the Corona Hotline. Hi, Jesse.
Afternoon, boys. What's happening?
Well, here's what I want to know. Now, I knew the Cubs weren't going to go on that crazy streak that they were on at the beginning of the year. But in the last week, there have been more major issues to come up to be concerned with. A, Chris Bryant. What is his health? What's his production? Now today, Alec Mills got hit around. Without Chatwood with a back injury, and if Mills is coming back to earth, and with Quintana out, now do the Cubs have a rotation depth issue? So there are some bigger picture questions that have crept into the Cubs equation.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And the fast start is going to help matters. I mean, if they play 500 ball the rest of the way, they're going to make the playoffs with like 33, 32, 34 wins. Now, it's not going to look as good as it did earlier in the year, but it'll get them where they want to go. The stars need to start showing up. I mean, you didn't mention Javi Baez. He's not hurt. He's not putting up much in terms of numbers. When Bryant was in there, he wasn't as well. They're depth guys like Mills, like Hayward Happ, which I kind of consider depth guys in a sense. You know what I mean? Guys you didn't necessarily count on for big numbers. They've been producing, but that may not last. You know, Happ may not keep this up. Hayward's been great. He may not keep this up. So the stars have to be the stars. We saw Darvish do that. Hendricks has been fine. But you're right. Mills might be coming back down to earth. That was bound to happen. We don't know what's up with Chatwood. It does feel like the team has leveled off a little bit, and there's going to be some starts and stops, some good play, some bad play. You're seeing it today. You know, the other day in the doubleheader, they lost the Hendricks game but won the Tyson Miller game. Maybe today they'll lose the Mills game and win the Adbert Alzolay game. So you're not wrong, Sylvie, but I think you have to look at the positive. They got off to that fast start. They may be able to ride that for quite a while here, at least to the postseason.
Jess, what are we supposed to think about Chris Bryant and how the Cubs feel about him going forward with regard to a potential contract?
Yeah, I have to be honest. It's probably reinforcing what they've thought. He's had nagging injuries, and they keep popping up. And this is not a critical statement. This is just fact.
It's reality.
He hasn't been able to produce through those injuries, right? That's just factual. So what's the answer? You got to step back and go on the IL or not play or whatever the case may be, like he's doing right now, get the injection. The point is, a healthy Bryant is better than a 50% Bryant. You know what I'm saying? Like, you'd rather have him sit than play at 50 to 75%. Some guys are different. Some guys can go through that. He's a bigger, lankier kind of player, and things keep popping up. Think about this now, guys. Shoulder, ankle, wrist, elbow, probably missing a couple things there. So I don't think it changes anything, Tommy. I think it reinforces what they've been thinking over the last 12 to 24 months. It's just not worth the big money. If we have to choose, we're going to choose a different direction. It's tough to say. This is a guy I always said to you would never have a bad year because he had the mental and physical makeup and the mechanics at the plate to just even his worst years were going to be good. but I didn't anticipate injuries knocking him down, and that's what's happened 3 years in a row, basically.
I would ask you the same question about the long-term possibility of the contract with Javi Baez. Again, it's a small sample size, but the same problems look like they will always exist with Javi, that the on-base percentage is going to hover around 310 in good times.
I still think he's going to get his contract. He does so much on the field at the most important position. That's number one. Number two, you take the good with the bad with Javi. Look, anybody in a 60-game season can have some weird numbers, okay? He's not off to a good start. Even if he has a bad year, I don't think it changes what they feel about him. So that's the difference. I think with Bryant, it sort of reinforces what they feel, and it's not the best feeling, you know, the best thoughts. With Baez, I don't think it changes what they feel with him either, and those are good thoughts they have about him. I still think he gets his contract. Now, for all we know, the contract is on his mind. You know, I don't know that for sure. He's not saying that. But remember, this was a guy I reported right before the shutdown was on the verge of signing. And now it's gone dormant for a while here. I think there's a good chance he signs after the season. It could be on his mind right now. He might be wondering, my numbers in this 60-game season, are they going to affect my contract? I don't think they will. I really don't. They know what they're getting with Javi. There's going to be some ups and downs, some swings and misses. He's still a dynamic, really good player.
He's batting now 195, I believe, for the year, Javi. It's really incredible. 195, he struck out twice today. His on-base percentage is 245. He's slugging a measly 356. It's really something like those two numbers, like you said, Jesse, of what Chris Bryant and Javi Baez are not doing, it's amazing they're 15-7.
Yeah, and you bring up the offense. It's an interesting offense, and I know there's ups and downs. Sylvie, you and I have been texting about it a little bit. You know, the positive, and this is a very big positive, is the way they grind, right? They see the most pitches per plate appearance of any team in the league. You
they
saw what happened last night. Yeah. It's good. It can be long, but it's good. And the results usually come with it. But there is a downside, and I think it's subconscious. You look at their on-base percentage, it's good, obviously. Like today, hit by batter, hit by pitch, and two walks. They had a rally going. Here's the problem. When you get into that mode, sometimes you're not swinging at the best pitches. You're so used to handing that baton off, you're swinging through or taking, even worse, you're taking some of the good pitches. So you look at the stats. Slugging, they're not that great with men on base. They're not that great OPS with men on base. They get on, and we've seen this in the past. So you have to have that combination. You want to grind, but when guys are on, when the bases are loaded, you want to slug. You don't want to look, you know, take that extra walk. Yeah, that might get your run here and there. So it might be subconscious too, because they talk about that baton, handing it off to the next guy, but eventually someone's got to hit it out of the park, like Matt Carpenter did today in the first inning. So there is a small downside to grinding so much, and you're seeing a little bit with the Cubs' offense.
Are you going to continue to see Ian Happ at least until he needs to be replaced defensively, maybe by Almora late in games? But will he own that center field spot in your mind going forward?
Tommy, it's not even a question. Not only will he own that spot, I think he's going to be the leadoff man when Bryant comes back. Ross left it open for discussion today. You know, when a manager leaves it, it's like, you can't lose your job to injury, and then all of a sudden you do lose your job to injury, right? I absolutely think that Papp's going to stay up there. Bryant's got enough going on with the injuries. He's not doing well at that leadoff spot. Of course, Ross said the same thing Joe Maddon said. He doesn't think he's struggling because he's leading off, but it can't help. It can't help putting that pressure on. I think you hide Bryant somewhere in the middle, fifth, whatever the number is, and you leave Happ at the top. And remember, this is Happ's second try at that leadoff spot, but he certainly looks like a different hitter than he was 2-3 years ago.
Did you ever think you would be saying, hide Chris Bryant?
No, never, never. I always thought his floor would be good enough to make all-star teams every year. But again, I didn't count on the injuries, and they just keep piling up. And again, either you produce through him or you sit out, right? And it seems like he has to sit out because the numbers just aren't good through the injuries.
The Darvish story continues to be a good one.
Yeah, it really does. And he said it again last night. Since the middle of last year, he has changed who he is. Physically, he's at the top of his game, maybe the most healthy he's been since he came into the league. And then the other thing is he just decided, that's it. I'm slowing everything down. again, the reason for part of the reason for a 4-hour game last night. But who cares when you pitch like that? So he's not talking about his delivery. He's just talking about in between pitches, he's going to take his time. Some guys need to do that. Steve Traxel did it. Didn't have as much success as Yu Darvish. Darvish is having success. He wants to slow down, and he's healthy, and he can pitch like this. Look, Hendricks, Darvish, and Lester as a three, that's not bad if you go into October, as long as you're getting the Lester that we've seen so far.
Jesse, do they believe that they're getting Craig Kimbrell back close to normal?
Slowly but surely they do. I don't think Ross is ready to hand him the job, and why would you, the way Wick and Jeffress is pitching? But I do think they think he's going to be needed. Wick can be a little bit up and down. He's still young, and I really think Jeffress is pitching above his abilities right now. I do think Jeffress is going to come back down to earth. Maybe he'll prove me wrong. But I do think that Ross really feels they need him at his best. Not the way he's been, but if they can somehow get back to what he was when he was dominant, of course they're going to give him that chance. He's not quite there yet. He's getting there, so at least the steps are in the right direction.
We talked about this a little bit earlier, about the concept of seven-inning doubleheaders and maybe something that Major League Baseball will consider going forward to make sure that the season goes more smoothly without some of the weather interruptions earlier in the year. Is that a viable option in your opinion, Jess?
You know, I don't think so. I think the extra inning rule would be more viable. That really, really hamstrings managers and GMs when they go 18 innings and all the jazz that goes with it, the injuries and all that. So I think the extra inning rule is more likely to stay than the seven-inning doubleheader rule. Look, there's not that many doubleheaders in a regular season, right? And so to play nine and nine, I don't think is that big of a deal. You have two or three a year. Now, I think Rizzo is on to something when he says, I don't want to play at 12 o'clock and then at 7 o'clock. Of course, Ricketts and Crane Kenny won't like that because it's two tickets, you know, for the fan. Back-to-back doubleheaders is the way to go. That really is. You're in and you're out for players. And I don't think those extra four innings make that big of a difference during a regular season where there's only a couple doubleheaders per team every year.
All right, Jesse, so not only are the Cubs getting their butt kicked with the score 9-1, I just noticed this too. They have one lousy hit this entire game.
Yeah, it's been bad from start to finish. I mean, Alec Mills had nothing, absolutely nothing. You guys probably saw it better than I was. I was in the upper deck, so I didn't have replays.
Even the outs were hard hit, Jess.
Yeah, yes, yes. If the wind was blowing out, it would have been a lot worse. I mean, Matt Carpenter crushed that ball, and the wind was blowing in. And then Happ, of course, crushed the ball to lead off the bomb of the first. But that's the only hit. That the leadoff batter for the Cubs is the only hit of the game for them. Just been a bad, bad game. But like I said, they won the Tyson Miller game on Monday in the doubleheader. Let's see if the Albert Azulay game goes their way. But look, you have to expect some up and down here and just be happy with that start. If they can maintain a 7-8 games above 500 run here, maybe push it ahead a little bit more over 10 games, whatever, at some point. I think that's the good. You can't expect that same pace. It was too good. It really was.
All right, Jesse, thank you.
Thanks, Jess.
Okay, guys, have a good one.
There you go. Cubs in the bottom of the seventh with one out. They're down 9-1. They're about to lose game one of the doubleheader.
Refresh my memory. How long is the break between these games? Is it like
35 minutes?
45 40 minutes.
45?
Yeah. 45, yep.
Yeah.
Well, you know what else has been really good recently, too, knock on wood? I mean, it's only been a few days, but it seems like these issues that they've had, whether it was the Marlins or the Reds or the Phillies, does it feel like some of these are kind of, they're fewer and further between?
Yeah, what's the Reds status right now?
They're playing today.
Good. All right.
They're actually playing right now. They've got a doubleheader themselves. They're in Kansas City to take on the Royals. They're on the field.
So that would be a step because you had some infections, but you didn't have the outbreak like you had with Florida or St. Louis.
Right.
No, that's a really good point. Here's what I want you guys to do, and I think this is a good fan question for everyone right now. And if you want to weigh in, too, on the seven-inning thing, do you like seven-inning doubleheaders? Would you like to see that in the future, in years where baseball is normal? 312-332-3776. But Waddle, Bleck, Abdallah, I'm going to ask you guys a question. Our fans a question, too. It is going to be an impossible question for you to answer, but I still want you to make a prediction. And it has to do with being a fan. And that comes next.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
because Sam Adams is celebrating the return of sports to Chicago every day. We're highlighting one of the best sports bars in the Chicagoland area. Today we salute Tavern on the Point in Edison Park. Text Sam Adams to 31996 for your chance to win a Sam Adams summer cooler. Tavern on the Point and Sam Adams helping you celebrate the return of sports.
How great have the people been in Edison Park to the Waddle and Sylvie show through the years?
Oh, fantastic. Go slowly through the neighborhoods, as I always like to say.
Waddle always gets caught by the speed bumps in that neighborhood.
They're like barricades. They're not speed bumps.
You got to watch out.
Oh, my God. A drop a transmission or two over there.
But hey. we've done so many different shows out there, and everyone's been great to us.
Waddle, good job waiting the correct amount of time before you read.
Appreciate that.
This is earlier, by the way.
Five, six.
Oh, it's way
seven,
more.
Three. Eight. Nine,
four,
10,
four,
11,
keep
four,
counting.
12, 13,
Sylvie was
14,
right,
15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23.
You got something for me?
24.
I was told you had something for me.
Listen, I'm told we've got to let the
He's like, and he's like, oh, I'm going to wait 8 seconds. And I'm like, I'm the king of 8 seconds. I know what 8 seconds is.
24 seconds.
Hey, listen, even criminals have to have some sort of defense, right?
You would have had a shot clock violation.
Oh,
right
no
there.
Doubt. Yeah, I was actually asleep. I don't know if you could have tell. You could tell from Twitter or from Twitch, but I was actually sleeping.
Yeah. Well, look, there's actually a lot going on. Cubs have just lost 9-3, game one of their doubleheader.
You suck!
They'll play another game here in 45 minutes. White Sox against Detroit tonight. We've got NBA action going on right now. The Hawks were knocked out of the postseason last night. Now we'll see what they do big picture-wise with the coach and the front office and the president's position and with the roster and everything like that. And Bears camp going on. So, look, don't fall asleep for too long, Waddle.
Yeah.
Because you're going to miss something.
I just missed Fegley's home run to cut the lead from 9-3, or the final score from 9-3. We were
Josh
just lamenting.
Fegley.
We were just lamenting the fact that Pegley hadn't had a base hit since putting a Cub uniform on.
He did. He had a two-run homer. Garbage time. But the game is over. 9-3, they lose. All right. Here's my question. So I have enjoyed sports. I've always heard. Two sides of this with no fans in the stands, that a lot of people are saying, well, this is great that we have sports back, but man, is it depressing to see no fans in the stands. And every wide shot, and I've been the opposite, and I think you've been with me, Waddle, where I have not hung on the fact that there are no fans in the stands, because I do understand, and I don't need that wide shot picture to let me know that we're in the middle of a pandemic.
Become used to it.
Yeah, I'm like just grateful that we're getting this sports smorgasbord.
Yeah.
That we're getting sports, sports, sports. And if it comes at the expense of all of us having to watch it at home or being in bubbles or whatever, at least we're getting it.
Mm-hmm.
But as we were talking and Abdallah was bringing up about Alabama's going to have a certain amount of fans if the SEC does play. The Kansas City Chiefs, they want to get several thousand fans in here.
Yeah.
Here's my question for you. It's an impossible prediction for you guys to make, but I want you to close your eyes and try to envision this, because there a lot depends on it. When do you expect will be the first sold-out Chicago sporting event? When will be the next time that there will be a stadium in Chicago that will hold an event that not? I'm not asking you the question when there will be fans in the stands. When will be the next time that you will have a sold-out Chicago sporting event?
Well, are the Bulls still going to stink? Because they won't have a sellout, so to speak.
Well, but they've always been, they've always sold tickets.
Hmm.
I've got an answer. So my answer is...
Tell me your answer.
You hear the... That's the Bulls intro music. That's me doing the Bulls intro music.
Yeah.
And you
sounds
hear,
like you're noodling a bass.
From yeah. Greece.
Oh, Giannis?
In 2 years.
Wait, 2 years?
In a year. Well, in a year. So no. Full year.
No.
Full
no.
Calendar year.
No, people will be back before that.
Seriously?
You think
yeah.
so? Sold yeah. out capacity?
No. Yeah.
effing way.
That's what I mean. Like, I have no clue what the answer is here, and I was just wondering this.
Yep.
And, like, this is less to do about tying in who's great, okay? I'm not asking you, hey, Giannis, so there's going to be a big Bulls buzz. I'm, like, asking you guys, like, in a year from now, Bears opening
day, ask a question.
Will there be a sold-out crowd?
Let's go by it. Like, that's a year from now. Like, a lot of poo happens in a year.
Right.
Like, okay, there's, like, 9 million vaccines that are in the works. Let's say one of them is let's just say 50% efficacy rate. Like the flu vaccine that you get, right? Say we have some antivirals, like Tamiflu for the flu. They'll have some COVID antivirals that, you know, help it make it go away sooner or the effects less severe. If you can get in the stadium, people are going. I'm just telling you that.
Even full boat.
Yes.
Like you envision a day within the next year where we're sitting elbow to elbow and the bathrooms are full and the concession stands are hopping.
I think
we're back to what it was before the pandemic.
I think there will be 60,000 people willing to go to a Bears game in calendar year 2021. And I'm not telling you that it has to be eradicated, but improvements will be made medically. You got the new saliva test that will help rapid screening. There will be different ways to get in and out of a stadium. It's easier to get people in a stadium under newer, quote-unquote, safer guidelines than get out of a stadium because you can't guarantee when people are going to want to leave. I think with the advancements in how we handle things medically and how we handle things in terms of people interacting, I personally believe there will be 60,000 people in the city of Chicago that will be willing to go to a Bears game in a calendar year. I do.
Black, what's your prediction?
I'm not as positive as Waddle, but I'm not as pessimistic as Abdallah. I'm somewhere in the middle.
I got on a completely crowded plane 2 months ago.
A
crowd of planes 250, 250 people.
Did you guys see the video from like the other day of like that festival in South Korea where there was like thousands of people all there listening to dance music and like they were all on top of each other because where they were, they've kind of limited the amount of spread to the point where it's not really there anymore. So you can go to concerts. I would guess it would be a baseball game in this town some point after the start of next season.
Wow, so that's sooner than me.
Yeah.
Yeah, so not opening day. I'm not going to say opening day.
Well, but the opening day for the Chicago Bears will be mid-September next year. You're saying sometime in March. Bravo, Black.
I'm not saying March, but I'm saying
you're saying like July, like yes, a July yes, Wrigley game.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Because think about it. The way baseball is moving right now, by the time we get to the spring, baseball's going to start again. I think we can all assume like this loose bubble that they have, this traveling bubble concept that they have with their teams, they're going to start next season on time.
No
right?
doubt, but that's a completely separate conversation from people coming in.
No, I know that. So I think the moment there is some form of vaccines or there is a way to mitigate the spread of it, people will be allowed back into the ballparks because baseball is kind of found a way to keep their product going. So I think at some point in next baseball season, you will have fans at Wrigley or at Guaranteed Rate.
And you know what? I was trying to be overly cautious, but I would reverse probably my statement, and I would agree with you that at some point during the year next year, when the weather becomes
outdoors,
it's warmer, I'm with you. I think that
maybe
there
4th
will be
of July weekend.
Probably sooner than that. So
that's
being overly cautious.
I'm not predicting at all like the Hawks or the Bulls season, just because we know those seasons are starting late.
And they're indoors.
Right, and it's indoors, and we don't know like how quickly the vaccines will come. But yes, late summer, maybe early fall next year is the earliest I see it. Like, I don't know. Will everyone really want to pack it? Will everyone say, hey, it's business as normal? I don't know. Or will it be a slow build until we get a sold out crowd? Will we have like lower the capacity crowds, but lots of people there? Or will people be all in saying, hey, we're good again?
I think you could get 60,000 to go to a game this September at Soldier Field.
Have you seen the photos of bars in Alabama?
Yeah.
It seems like people are already
I'm telling you, yeah.
right, 312-332-3776 if you want to weigh in. It's an impossible prediction to make. But I was just thinking about that, watching Wrigley Field empty, watching the guaranteed rate empty, you know, seeing Edmonton, seeing the bubble.
I would go a step further and say to you, I'd be masked up and I'd be taking all the precautions. But like I said, I've been on an airplane. I would be willing to do it at that point.
332-3776. We'll get to all that plus Wilbon at 5.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Three one two three three two three seven seven six. Asking the question with no fans in the stands, and we're enjoying sports because it has been an awesome time. I've got NBA hoops on right now. I'm watching the Cubs game 2 will start in a little bit. It's like almost like an NCAA tournament feel every day, but no one's at these games. But I'll take what I can get. And I was wondering, when's the next time in this city we'll have a sold-out sporting event? And I believe Black and Waddle both went with sometime summer or fall 2021, maybe like a year from now, whether it be a Cubs game or maybe opening game of Bears season next year.
Didn't LeBron mention, I didn't see the interview, but last night, did he talk about how difficult it is? And maybe it was from an interview before about getting ramped up and playing with no like energy from fans in the stands.
He got criticized for that for a little bit, didn't he?
I mean, listen, I think it's a real thing. I think there are some people that are probably benefiting from it. I told you, I thought that, you know, I know Darvish was fantastic in the second half of last year, but I think guys like Darvish and Chatwood, guys who get inside their own minds at times, probably, especially if you come out pitching well, it's a benefit for them. There are other people that I think thrive on the excitement that is created by fans, and they use it as something to kind of pump them forward.
And look, I'm not trying to be a negative Nancy and say that it's not going to happen until either late winter next year or even 2022. No, I'm just saying if you look at the way concert venues are going, that's a gathering of a large group of people. And most people will tell you in the music industry that there will not be concerts in a large capacity, in a stadium capacity, until 2022. And that translates to, and I get it. Colleges can say this all they want, but we also saw a few NFL teams that were like, we're going to have fans. And it was like, well, wait a minute. No, we're not. So just because
well,
they
that policy is dictated to them also by the local officials, I
get
think.
That, which is why I'm also saying in Illinois, we have one of the strictest and most conservative when it comes to, not conservative, but you know what I mean, when it comes to coronavirus response in the country with our governor and our mayor in Chicago.
They couldn't even plan a foursome in golf for a while.
Well, that's why the Cubs were like, we've got this plan to have 20%, and the mayor was like, no, you don't. So you can say this all you want, but it's also a liability thing. It's a liability of your workers. It's a liability of everybody you're bringing in.
So let me ask you, the players. Gotcha. So at what point? Like, because it's not going away, Adam.
I understand.
I mean, like, it's not going to be eradicated.
I know.
It's going to be around.
I get
so
it.
So at what point do they relent and say, you know what, we're done the risk-reward analysis, and now we're fine with you making that decision individually that you want to go or not want
well,
to go.
Well, first of all, there's going to be a liability thing where we've talked about it before, where when you buy your ticket, it's your liability waiver. Saying if you do get it and you can trace it back to getting it from us, not responsible.
And you're not going to have to sign a form for that.
No,
you're going
that's
an implied.
Yeah, it's an implied purchase. Then I think it's going to be when we have a vaccine that's on par with like the flu vaccine, where yes, I know it's not guaranteed that you're not going to get it, but once enough people can get it and you see the cases go down, and you're not seeing, you know, 1,500 new cases a day in Illinois, and still you're still seeing deaths. Once people aren't dying from this, then you'll maybe see fans in the stands in a sold-out capacity.
Sold out. I want to know. Like, when are we going to go right back to sellouts, or is it going to take a long time for us to say, hey, it's cool that there's 50 people in a bathroom made for 10 people. Do you know what I mean? Think about all the overly cramped areas you've been at a stadium in Chicago over the last 10 years.
Did you see the video from the top-down party down in Texas?
Yeah, but we're not in Texas.
Did you see the party in, was it in Peoria? Where was it? It was downstate Illinois for the white
trash bash.
I mean, did you see all of the people that congregated, as Adam said, in the bars in Tuscaloosa when everyone was back on campus? I mean, like this is our culture. Like our culture is we do what we want, when we want, how we want. And we're not used to being told when, where, and how to do all of that stuff.
But you have an entity that is saying that.
You have
an entity of the Cubs or White Sox or Bears saying, you're not coming in. We don't care if you want to or not. You're not coming in.
Or you're paying a high price to do it.
My point is, but as you said, Adam, you are going to release them of any type of liability by purchasing the ticket. So the Bears aren't going to deter you from coming into their building if you have agreed to waive your liability by purchasing the ticket. All I'm saying to you is I bet I can find 60,000 people that will want to go into that stand and will be willing to basically sign off on that liability by purchasing the ticket.
Of course you can. But what happens when someone does get it and someone dies from being at a Bears game?
I don't know, can you trace it back to a Bears game or could you trace it to somewhere else?
I'm sure you can trace it back to a bunch of places.
That's my point. You can't trace it back to exactly where you got it.
I get that, but I'm saying that if you go through and a few weeks later a few days later someone gets it and he's got really bad symptoms and they pass away from it, you go, and he happened to be at a Bears game 3 days prior. You know, like in the news report, it doesn't matter if you can trace it or not. It's in the news report. It doesn't matter. It's optics.
Mike's on Lakeshore Drive. Mikey, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
We're good. Thank you.
Hey, so, I just want to comment on what you guys are talking about. I truly don't think that we will see a sold-out sporting event in Chicago until at least 2022. Because, even if the MLB or the NFL, whoever says it's up to the cities to do it, I don't think our mayor would allow it. Like, and I mean, I work in a hospital. Like, I've seen people as young as, in their 30s that have been in the hospital for months on ventilators and stuff. So we never know how someone will react to it. And on top of that, like, you guys were talking about, like, antiviral medications and stuff. That stuff takes a long time, and vaccines as well. And I know everything's expedited right now because of COVID, but it takes a long time to see the efficacy and the side effects of all these things, vaccines, antivirals, any type of medication. So I think 2021, there's zero chance that we have sold out Chicago sporting events.
Okay, thank you.
Now I'll take the other side of that wager.
Yeah, it's just I was just thinking about that, watching the games and saying that this is great that we've got sports now. Thankfully, we found a way. These models have worked. These bubbles, these pods, they've worked. I didn't know if they would work or not, but when will business as usual go back to normal and how far away that truly is going to be?
Now, again, I'm not suggesting people are going to be licking the seats in front of them. Or going to the bathroom and touching things and then putting their hands in their mouth.
But think
and
that's
they're
what, not going to be what people do.
They're not going to be
they eat
sneezing.
A bratwurst though at their seat and they drip it all over their seat with a guy in a tank top sitting in front of
they're
them.
They're not going to be sneezing into each other's mouths. Hopefully, my hope is everyone's going to wear a mask. You're going to more aware of your situation. There will be advancements in different arenas. And you will be able to find a way to get 40,000 people into Wrigley if they want to go.
You've got people that can't handle wearing a mask going in to get their groceries. You think people are going to wear them for an entire game?
Right, when we have a vaccine.
Well, I don't think it's going to be mandatory. I think it's going to be, hey, listen, you know what? You're going to do it because it's in your own best interest, not because somebody told you to do it.
The rule at Alabama games this year, they sent out a list, an email to the season ticket holders and said, 20% capacity, you have to wear masks the entire time.
Yeah. It's fascinating to me.
From now. I know.
It's fascinating to me that we're talking about crowds at Alabama games when we still don't even know if the SEC is even going to play. It's unbelievable.
Oh, they're playing.
Well, we can say Chiefs games then, because that's going to happen sooner. I mean, they're supposed to start in 3 weeks here.
3 weeks from tomorrow,
from tomorrow,
right?
Tomorrow. I mean, the SEC at least pushed their season back to the end of September. We're talking about fans in the stadium in 3 weeks from today or tomorrow.
Listen, instead of 60,000 people in Arrowhead, you're going to have 22,000. Like, if you think that that's just going to make, like, okay, we're not going to get any cases because we only have 22,000 in versus 60,000 in, your head's in the clouds. There is an inherent risk that is going to exist with putting 22,000 people even spread out in a stadium like that. It's just, that's just the reality of it all.
All right.
Are you willing to live with that risk? And are the local authorities willing to allow you to take that risk?
David Ross addressed the elephant in the room, the non-hitting Cubs at times. We'll play you that and also an update on my pecker issue.
Look for the ComEd lower price sticker at participating retailers near you to save instantly on energy efficient LED bulbs from the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at comed.com/instantly.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Waddle, I got good news on the home front.
All right.
So far, now we're only 24 hours in since the repairs, since the streamers have been hung. A lot of people telling me to buy a fake owl as well.
Oh, yeah.
I've mentioned on the pre-show videos and also on this show.
I've also heard that a naked blow-up doll will also help. So put that on your roof as well.
Well, it's already there, so okay. That's an easy fix.
Great.
The woodpecker, it's a family of three, is what we've tallied.
Really?
Seems to be very, very discouraged over all the different mylar, I think that's what they're called, the mylar tape, and the different spinny things
that
reflects
working in
the sunlight. So far, now, when we first put it up, they were very curious, and they kept circling back, and they would look to the where the hole was, and it was repatched, and they would peck and peck a little bit, and then they'd fly away, and then I'd make a noise, and I'd have my kids make noises.
Kind of noise?
Like, I would bang the table.
Excuse
you know,
me? What were you doing?
Well, like the outside, like, you know.
Oh, okay.
You know, stuff like that. You know, just, like, who brought up the Super Soaker, too? That was PB, right? And I was armed with a Super Soaker yesterday, but I was pleasantly surprised after the show that there were no woodpeckers around there. And then this morning when I shot the pre-show fist fight, no woodpeckers just yet.
Remember, the water must be, like, really cold. It'll make your pecker go away. So whatever, if you
why do you got to do that? Like I've got a legitimate issue here. Okay, and this is no time for jokes.
Should we listen back to you telling us the news yesterday about your pecker issue?
Breaking news: my woodpecker problem continues outside.
So did you call the pecker checker to come over to the house?
He's not, like, that would be a good name for the business, like
Johnny's
someone,
pecker checkers.
Because you can't get rid of the woodpeckers; they're protected.
You just check on them.
Whoa! So then you want, like, so then I hired a
Johnny's
contractor.
Johnny's pecker checkers here. What? Who is this? And what can I do for you?
And then you close it up, but then these woodpeckers are resilient, and they'll just go right back to the spot. That pecker's banging right away. He's right back by the hole banging away. I feel just like Cutler with a chicken issue.
You need to call Johnny's Pecker Checkers and see if they can come out and actually give it's you more advice.
Yeah, no, don't worry, Sylvia. You'll hear it again at 5:58.
Oh, what I said?
Yeah.
That I didn't realize I said? That pecker's banging right away. He's right back by the hole banging away. That pecker's banging right away. I hired a
Johnny's
contractor.
Johnny's pecker checkers here. What, who is this and what can I do for you? You know, we have had all kinds of woodpeckers in our trees as well. And they're loud as hell.
Right. Like, as long as they stay in the trees, though.
Well, they're not going to. Yeah, we have a different. The face of our house is different. We don't have the drive it. We have a brick. So, like, I mean, I wouldn't expect them to cling to the brick and start pounding their head into brick. But they are in the trees.
And they're loud. Yeah.
Oh, they're loud as hell.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're pretty birds, though. I don't know.
Oh, very. Like, they're very cute. I mean, you're right about that.
Yeah. If they're destroying your house. You say you got cute peckers around the house? Is that what you were saying? My point is they're not so cute when they're destroying the outside of your house. But, like, if they're just sitting on your deck, your big deck.
And they're just rustling
around. You got a woodpecker sitting on your big deck, standing there majestically.
So that's the update. I was looking forward to that. And I'll see when we go sit outside for dinner. When the weather's nice, we sit outside for dinner, and I'll check to see if the woodpeckers are back to banging on the hole. David Ross.
I wouldn't want to expose the kids to that. I mean, because it sounds like you don't need them to see the destruction that is going
on. Poke their eye out.
Yeah, so keep them away from the
Do you know what happened yesterday, too, after the show? And I know I wanted to get to David Ross stuff, and I didn't know if I wanted to share
Yeah, he'll still be there later. He'll be talking about no hits and the loss in the second game, too. So we can get to that afterwards.
For all the people who are like me and have young kids at home, and you're in a position right now of going through the pandemic, and now most of the schools in the area, not all, but most of the schools in the area are e-learning. And you're prepping your house for you're setting it up like a school. You know, we're designing a room where they can e-learn and everything like that. And when I'm because of my situation, I'm doing the show from the basement. So when I come up, I get right away within a minute, Waddle. And I'm sure when you had four kids at home, so you would find out right away the mood of the house from your wife, right?
Yeah, no doubt.
You walk in the home. Like before, we used to have the ride home. There's no ride home for me. It's a walk up the stairs.
Here, hold this child. Hold right. your child.
So my wife completely stressed out yesterday, all right? It was terrible today. Braxy did this. Mason did this. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay, should I go take them outside now? Blah, blah, blah. Well, they're upstairs. And there were giggles coming from upstairs. So I'm like, cool. And I said to my wife, I know you're stressed out. I know you want them out of the house. But when we hear giggles, let's ride it out.
Yeah.
We know it's only going to last for like 5-10 minutes before they're going to start fighting, before something's going to happen.
To let them have their fun.
Right. So while they're quiet, while they're happy, while they're laughing, let's talk. Let's catch up. You decompress, whatever, everything like that. So, and sure enough, I called it. The giggles for about 5 minutes into all of a sudden, Mason racing down the stairs. Daddy, Braxton just peed in my workspace.
Yeah, way to go, Brax. That's right, he peed in your workspace.
Just like that, that thing on the back of the pickup truck. What is that character's name who's peeing on the Chevy?
That's Braxton.
The little peeing guy, yeah, yeah.
The little boy, who's that?
Calvin
and Hobbs, is that? That Braxton, he dropped his pants in the middle of Mason's workstation and just decided to take a big one.
Yes. Did Mason's workstation have, like, the logo of a Green Bay Packer helmet on there?
Yeah.
Like, is that what he was peeing on? Like,
yeah.
Right in the middle of the floor, like he was Cosmo.
Maybe he was wearing a White Sox jersey, and Braxton was like, we don't wear that in this house.
It was like, I knew I had 5 minutes, but I thought, okay, maybe they would start pushing. Maybe they would start shoving. Maybe someone would bang their head.
Start peeing.
The last thing I thought I was going to get was, Daddy, Braxton just peed in my workstation.
Well, what was Braxton's explanation for why he decided to rain on his parade?
No clue. And no clue. No clue. We walked. I took
you gotta
him.
Go, we, you got to go.
Yeah. We did a walkthrough like Nagy would go with Trubisky afterwards. You go back to look at the film. And I went through it with Braxton, and he went, showed me where the toilet is. He knows where to go. He knows that's not where you go, and that's not the correct read.
Man. And then he overthrew a tight end.
That's awesome. That would be great. The post wrongdoing press conference. So, Braxton, what was going through your mind when you decided to pee in the workspace? Well, I mean, you know, sometimes you just have to go, and It doesn't matter where you go. You just you.
And I'm not going to pee in my own space. I was going to pee in my brother's space.
I'm going to do that on Instagram Live next time, Abdallah. Where I'm gonna do like a post misbehavior press conference.
Well, why didn't you think you had time to walk to the bathroom and do this? Listen, guys, are we gonna focus on this one thing the whole time? You're not gonna talk about all the good things I've done today. You're not gonna talk about the three touchdowns. You're only gonna talk about this one thing.
See that Lego house I built earlier in the day?
Yeah. How about the times I didn't punch my brother?
Yeah.
You don't talk about those.
I didn't poop in his workstation.
You know just peed on it. Next question.
So I feel all the parents out there are going through the same thing.
Next
that I'm
question.
Going through. All right, Michael Wilbon joins us coming up in 2 minutes.